Podcast Network Asia.
This episode may include topics, references, or discussions around sexual assault, domestic violence, stalking, physical violence, or subject matters that may be disturbing to some of our listeners. We do acknowledge that this content may be difficult. We also encourage you to care for your safety and well-being.
Do you feel like murdering a long list of movies and TV shows in one go? We've got you. It's easy to binge watch and have movie marathons with the help of Globe Prepaid's GoPlus99 with GoWatch. With a total of 16 GB of data, you can now have 8 GB for all sites you need and 8 GB for your continuous binge watching routine for different apps like YouTube, Netflix, View, iWantTFC, HBO Go, NBA, WeTV, and Go Movies. Not just that, you also get unlimited text to all networks valid for 7 days. To register, all you need to do is grab your phones, download the new Globe One or GCash app, or dial *143# on your mobile phones to quickly register. Have a killer time watching movies and TV series with Globe Prepaid's GoPlus99 with GoWatch. You have chosen to continue to part 4 of a special Halloween season of The Last 24 Hours on movies inspired by true crime called Scream and the Gainesville Ripper. You are now following the episode through the story of 46-year-old freelance journalist and true crime enthusiast Sandra London. It's September 1990, and the town of Gainesville, Florida is reeling from the violent murders of 5 students. All victims have been stabbed, while the female victims have been raped, mutilated, and then posed by the sadistic perpetrator. After weeks of grasping at straws, the police have finally made an arrest, an 18-year-old University of Florida student named Edward Humphrey. One look at the disfigured face of the troubled young man, and people were immediately convinced that he's the kind of evil capable of slicing and decapitating his victims. For the first time since the murders began, the community began to heave a sigh of relief and tried to focus on grieving for the victims instead and moving forward. But their relief would be short-lived. DNA testing of the semen found on the crime scene would reveal that the perp's blood type does not match the blood type of the man they have in custody. The perpetrator was type B. Edward Humphrey was type A. With the help of agents from other states, they also discovered a cold case from Shreveport, Louisiana that bore an eerie similarity to the murders in Gainesville. On November 4, 1989, the Grissoms were brutally murdered in their home, and the female victim, Julie Grissom, raped and posed in the similar manner as all the female victims in Gainesville. The perp liked placing his female victims in bed naked, with their feet touching the floor and their hair fanned out. Looking at the crime scene photo of the Louisiana cold case gave Florida investigators the chills. Could it be the same man? Then, a fateful tip from the Crime Stoppers hotline would give investigators an even stronger sense that this time, they could be on the right path. "I think there's one guy you all should investigate," Louisiana native Cindy Jurasich said, before finally dropping the name of Danny Rowling. As soon as investigators started looking into Rowling, they noted that he had multiple convictions for armed robbery and realized that he could possibly be responsible for the bank robbery that occurred on the day that Krista Hoyt's body was found. They returned to the evidence locker, where a gun, screwdriver, bag of money, and cassette player had been stored. Finally, they listened to the tape.
Stranger to the silver dollar bar. What's your pleasure? Pass the tinder with a big cigar.
When they finally tracked Rowling down, he was 40 miles south of Gainesville, in a Marion County jail where he was being held for another robbery. They tested his blood and discovered that not only was Rowling type B, it was the exact DNA match of the specimen found in the Gainesville crime scenes. On November 15, 1991, Danny Rowling was charged with 5 counts of first-degree murder in connection to the college student deaths in Gainesville. If convicted, he was facing the death penalty. All of this is playing out in the media nationwide, and the coverage is insatiable. As a true crime enthusiast, Sondra London was riveted. The 46-year-old writer and journalist is no stranger to monstrous men. She'd already achieved nominal degree of fame from writing a book on her ex-boyfriend, another suspected serial killer, G.J. Schaefer. Prior to her foray into serial killers, London had been mostly working as a technical writer, specifically on computer manuals. Then, in 1989, she read Ann Woolf's book, The Stranger Beside Me, about the writer's relationship with the young Ted Bundy. She thought back to her high school relationship with Gerard John Schaefer and decided that she could do the same thing. In 1972, G.J. Schaefer was a deputy sheriff who picked up 2 teenage girls, took them to the woods, handcuffed them to a tree, and threatened them with various sexual tortures. The girls somehow escaped, and Schaefer pleaded guilty to assault, to which he served only 6 months in jail. Soon after his release, the mutilated remains of 17-year-old Susan Place and 16-year-old Georgia Jessup were found, and according to witnesses, Schaefer was the last person seen with both girls. At the time, Schaefer claimed that he was being framed, even as personal items of other missing young women, like jewelry and diaries, including 2 gold teeth, were recovered in his mother's house. Authorities also found copies of Schaefer's disturbing pornographic stories detailing the rape and torture of women. In October 1973, he was found guilty and given 2 life sentences for the murder of Susan Place and Georgia Jessup. Police suspect, however, that he's responsible for at least 30 cases of missing women and girls. He died on December 1995 after a fellow inmate stabbed him to death over an argument relating to a cup of coffee. Before he died, however, he collaborated with Sondra London on a book called Killer Fiction, a compilation of his short stories involving savage graphic torture and murder of women, usually from the perspective of a killer who was often a rogue police officer. It was published in 1990 after Sondra got in touch with Schaefer and interviewed him at length while in prison. A second book, Beyond Killer Fiction, followed 2 years later. Throughout the whole experience, London corresponded with Schaefer, and his letters were nothing short of horrifying. In one letter, Schaefer wrote that he began murdering women when he was 19. In another, he bragged about killing and cannibalizing 2 school girls, a 9-year-old named Peggy Rond and an 8-year-old named Wendy Stevenson, who both vanished in 1969. He did all this while publicly claiming his innocence and threatening to sue anyone who labeled him a serial killer. If you're anything like me, watching vlogs, movies, and TV shows are perfect ways of ending a long day. That's why I'm so glad I've got Globe Prepaid's GoPlus99 with GoWatch promo. Check this out. With a total of 16 GB of data, you can now have 8 GB for all the sites you need, and 8 GB for your favorite video streaming apps like YouTube, Netflix, Vue, iWanTFC, HBO Go, NBA, WeTV, and Go Movies. Not just that, you also get unlimited text to all networks, valid for 7 days. All you need to do is download the new Globe One or GCash app or dial *143# on your mobile phones. So what are you waiting for? End your day right. End it with Globe Prepaid's GoPlus99 with Go Watch promo. Happy Go Watch and chill, everybody.
Bob
By the time Sandra London met Danny Rowling, they'd already been corresponding for a year. In a Washington Post article, she describes meeting him through a glass partition at the Florida State Prison.
I approached my meeting with Danny thinking I was prepared for anything. But there was one thing I was not prepared for. I had no idea what the fine-looking man he is today. Instead of the dejected and broken loser I'd seen on TV, standing before my hungry eyes was one gorgeous hunk of a man. I'm sorry, folks, but it's the truth. My maximum man stands an imposing 6'2 with muscles out to here. His color is bright. His youthful skin is glowing. His hazel eyes are clear, and so is his head. The news footage publicized a courtroom image of him stumbling awkwardly, stupefied by Thorazine and seeming lost in his own body. But now, my dangerous pussycat strides across the floor with languid power that makes me highly aware that I am a woman and this is a man.
Danny Rowling, for his part, sent a letter to the same publication professing the same sentiments. My relationship with Sandra runs deep as the Amazon River and just as wild, he claims. He went on to add that he thinks she's an exciting woman and he couldn't be more grateful to God for sending a soulmate his way. Naturally, people had questions, a lot of questions. Is she stupid? Are they really in love? How can you fall in love with a monster? She must be a monster herself. Sandra knows that people think she's a joke. As soon as news of a relationship with the man known as the Gainesville Ripper went public, she'd been called an airhead, a death row groupie, and the worst, at least in her opinion, a fringe journalist who will do anything for a buck. Sandra sensed that Joel Achenbach, the Washington Post journalist set to conduct an interview with her, is possibly thinking of one or two of those things. For Sandra, though, falling in love with a serial killer made complete sense, and it all came down to how she differentiated normal people from serial killers. She explained herself to Achenbach this way.
Normal people have their good parts and bad parts all mixed together, like globes filled with liquids, the content sloshing around. But serial killers are like crystals. They have different facets that are distinct from one another, compartmentalized with one facet obscuring another. Every facet you see, there is an equal and opposite facet somewhere else. In fact, serial killers can be pleasant and genuinely nice. Whatever flaws they possess, the inability to empathize, the explosive rage, the perverted sexuality, do not show. He is just a regular guy.
Sandra believes that this part of Danny Rowling is worth loving. Also, like many women, Sandra admits to having a weakness for good-for-nothing men. So when Rowling proposed, she accepted. Danny Rowling personally designed her engagement ring. It featured 5 stones, a diamond, and 4 rubies, bought from money that they received after she sold some of his twisted art. Achenbach was quick to speculate if the number of gemstones had a secret, sinister meaning, 4 and 1, 4 women and 1 man. The Gainesville murders? Sandra demurred to explain. At his sentencing for the Winn-Dixie robbery in Ocala, Rowling used the opportunity the judge gave him to speak by singing a love song to Sandra, who's been prohibited to see him after prison authorities claimed she misrepresented herself so she can gain access to Rowling and obtain all the rights to his art, writing, songs, and other information.
I recall the day I first saw you. I reached out to say I love you. But it was hard to say, I couldn't touch you. So tell me, baby, what were my words? All my tears run together.
Excuse me, Mr. Rowling.
After the judge ordered him to stop singing, he sentenced Rowling to life in prison. In 1996, their book collaboration, The Making of a Serial Killer, The Real Story of the Gainesville Murders, was published. Described as a psychological memoir, it included Rowling's confession to all 5 murders and 50 personal hand-drawn illustrations. In 1998, both Rowling and London were sued by the state of Florida under the Son of Sam law, which prevents convicted felons from profiting from their stories. Danny Rowling was executed by lethal injection in October of 2006 after singing a gospel hymn and feasting on a lavish lobster dinner. Sandra London is now in her 70s and currently residing in North Carolina, where she continues to be a writer. Congratulations, you've survived the Gainesville Ripper, or at least your selection did, and for that, you deserve a sweet treat. Like us on Instagram at The Last 24 Hours Podcast, send us a DM of your name and phone number, plus the name of the surviving character, and we'll include your name on the raffle to win 1,500 pesos worth of candy. You've just listened to part 4 of a special Halloween season of The Last 24 Hours Podcast on horror movies inspired by true crime, Scream and the Gainesville Ripper. Next, imagine if the movie Scream happened in the Philippines. In 2011 to 2012, we look into a series of horrific student murders that happened in the University of the Philippines, Los Baños, an institution that hasn't quite shaken off its violent past involving a very shocking student double murder.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.